welcome to Week 16, Championship Week of All In with the Saints. As always, it is Jake Seeley and Bobby McMahon here to help you out. If you want to follow us at All In Kid for myself, at Hello on Bobby for Bobby. So hopefully most of you are in the championship title contention if you're listening. Hopefully not too many of you are listening for the fact of playing in Week 17, because you should not be doing that. And maybe some of you out there to play some DFS. So we're here for all of that. And that's why you can tweet us if you have any more questions. But Bobby, how many championships you're in this week?
I am in three. I made the playoffs in four or five and made the championship in all but one. So we'll see what happens. I do have one. Oh, no, all of them end this week. So, yeah, I am good after this week.
You sure about that?
Yes. The one I didn't make the championship in is actually a two-week championship. But
okay.
So
Fair enough. That's a pretty daggone good ratio. I was in 14. I missed the playoffs in two. And then I'm in 5 championships out of 12. So
nice.
And so I was gonna say it's my own fault for one of them, but it kind of isn't, it kind of wasn't. So I was delayed 8 hours at LaGuardia Airport this past week trying to get home and was on the plane from 7:30 till 8:30, which means I missed kickoff for Robbie Anderson, which I could have, of course, changed while I was at the airport, but I wasn't thinking about that because I was just frustrated and annoyed and trying to watch BoJack Horseman on my phone and just being miserable in the airport. So I forgot about that and ended up having to play Corey Coleman instead and lost by 4 points. So yeah, that's could have been in another championship game, but oh well. So looking at this week, as I said, hope we're gonna run through waivers, because if you're in the championship game, I can't imagine you need the waivers. Maybe again, we're gonna throw these out there too for maybe some people who are playing in week 17. As stupid as it is, we still will help. Or maybe you've been playing mix and match. Maybe you lost somebody last week. Maybe you've just been kind of plugging and surviving within low end running back. But so there's a couple of them out there. Streaming quarterbacks for this week. There's really, looking at the ownership percentage, likely Philip Rivers and Jameis Winston are owned, but they'd be at the top of the list. Rivers is facing Cleveland. Jameis Winston is heading into the Saints territory, and obviously we expect this game to be higher scoring than it was last time, especially because Michael Thomas is playing this time around. If you need to dig deeper, and I really hope you don't need to, but Matt Barkley has been pretty good so far, and you know, if you look at what he's done, he's got two games over 300 yards passing with two or more touchdowns, at least 15 fantasy points. They host the Redskins, who are pass-happy and going to force the Bears to try and keep up score-wise. So I would say Rivers, Winston, Barkley. Outside of that, just cross your fingers and pray.
Yeah, exactly. If you're needing to dig deeper than Matt Barkley, you're in a lot of trouble. But yeah, no, Barkley's been pretty good. I think Winston is probably on some waiver wires. As you know, teams get into the playoffs and realize they don't need a second quarterback. Maybe they have someone like Drew Brees and you're just obviously going to ride him all the way through. So they drop a backup, to pick up a handcuff or something of that nature. So, you know, a couple of these guys could be on the waiver wire. So if you've got a tough matchup that you're dealing with, you don't like the way your quarterback's playing at the moment, you know, definitely I would take a look at Philip Rivers first and then Winston if Rivers is gone.
Absolutely. And then at running back, if Ty Montgomery is somehow out there in your league, there's just put him in and start him. He's at this point, he's an RB1, isn't he?
I think he is, and it's a tough matchup of a Vikings D. I mean, don't look at what happened last week. That was they're a good defense. I mean, they are
well,
a good defense.
I'll throw out one thing. So an elite level of yards after contact for running backs is 3. So do you know what Ty Montgomery's is?
I don't. I'm gonna guess it's probably double that.
It is. It's 6.
Yeah, crazy.
That's insane. And obviously he's not going to sustain this pace, but go ahead. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, he has been ridiculous. He actually knocked me out of the one championship I didn't make, is I went up against him and Bilal Powell, and there was no coming back from that. So I like Montgomery inside the top, probably top 12 this week, top 12, top 15, even, you know, against the Vikings who do have a strong run defense. They just allowed Frank Gore to go over 100. I could see the Packers definitely giving Montgomery double digits once again. There is zero reason not to. He should be their starting running back moving forward, and I mean 2017 as well. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the only concern I have there for Dynasty Keeper Leagues is I would actually consider selling high, because I just don't think they're going to, honestly. I think they're going to either – attack it in the draft, and I don't think by first round, but or maybe bring somebody in. It's just I don't know that they want Ty Montgomery to carry the ball 20 times a game. Not that he can't, but if you've watched him, you've seen him. He still runs a little bit too much like a wide receiver in the backfield,
right,
but not as much as a running back. So that's something he can maybe learn, but at the same time, that might be something that they go after. So down further the list, Bilal Powell. With a huge game last week, and I'm not throwing that out the window for just the matchup or the opportunity for Matt Forte. Honestly, I think it's a great opportunity again this week. I don't think Matt Forte, well, he's not 100%. I would be surprised if he gets more than 10 touches again this week. But at the same time, even if he was healthy, you're facing the Patriots, who lean towards game script-wise being a Bilal Powell game. As we've seen this year, when the Jets are down or forced to pass more, it's more Bilal Powell than it is Matt Forte. Matt Forte's biggest games and best games came when they had the lead or were in contention the entire game. So even if Forte was healthy, I think that you could roll out Bilal Powell there as an RB2 either way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely think he's in the RB2 territory. I would not in any circumstances start Matt Forte. I just don't think he's healthy enough. I think they're going to lean on Powell here.
Yeah, I think so as well. If you want to go deeper, Kenneth Dixon, this is another one talking about game script and looking at the fact that the Steelers are weaker against the pass in the run game, weak overall against the run, but this is one where the Steelers are back at home, should put up points, force the Ravens to pass more. It means more Kenneth Dixon. The same thing to go back to that Patriots game. The Jets are very stout against the run, not as good against pass-catching running backs. Deion Lewis, if you're really desperate, and then the furthest down the list, I don't want to go this far, but Charles Sims in this game against the Saints, they should be passing more. As you can tell, these are all going for the boom or bust, as in trying to predict game script, trying to say, you know what, they have a chance to be behind and see more opportunities, maybe get a touchdown. And then if Doug Martin were to get hurt in the middle of the game, you know Sims' value would be huge.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's going to be a desperation play of sorts, but kind of what you're talking about. You're basically throwing a dart at that point and seeing what happens.
You prefer Dixon or Deion Lewis if it were you?
If it were me, I feel like I prefer Lewis just because I think he's got a higher ceiling, but I wouldn't want to rely on him. I think Dixon might be the safer play, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. I'm with you as well. At wide receiver, again, just as a reminder, we talked about it last week, but just double-checking your league. Heck, I had one of my buddies text me and said, just found Ty Montgomery off the waiver wire. You just never know what could happen. Somebody might have missed it. Somebody might have overlooked it. Somebody might have dropped them because, IR spots or something like that. But A.J. Green looks ready to return this week, almost did last week. If he starts, you have to play him. You agree with that, right? If A.J. Green's playing, he's in your lineup.
Absolutely, yeah. They've been holding him out. They've been careful with this injury, which is great. But yeah, he definitely needs to be in your lineup if he's active.
So the next two up on the list, these are more of the waiver options you could have out there. Another good game for Robbie Anderson. I just talked about him, forgot to put him in my lineup because wonderful travel situation there. I'm a little bit concerned, though, for if Fitzpatrick's at quarterback. If Bryce Petty's back at quarterback, which it sounds like he should be as of today, I'm rolling out Robbie Anderson as a wide receiver 3. If Fitzpatrick's back at quarterback, now he's more of a 4/5. Like, I'd say he takes a significant hit because Fitzpatrick clearly will go to Brandon Marshall. As much as this team looks like they're starting to check out on the field, at least Powell's been playing well. And then if Fitzpatrick's at quarterback, he's going to go to Brandon Marshall, as we've seen so far in the past. He doesn't have that same rapport that Petty has with Anderson.
Yeah, I think it's crucial for Anderson's value that Petty is under center. If he's not, I think he becomes way too risky.
Definitely there. So the other two on the same team, Chargers, Benjamin and Inman. This is a frustrating situation. Look, every single week, it's like the Cardinals of last year, or Cardinals when they're healthy, is you could pick the wrong one. It's similar to a running back committee backfield. Is they're probably going to have good games, maybe even two of them in the same game, more likely two of them, especially in a matchup like this against the Browns. But you could easily pick the wrong one. There's no guarantee here. If Inman or Benjamin are floating out there, I'd rather have Inman than Benjamin, but either one of them can be that big play guy, get you 80 yards and a touchdown, maybe even 110 on a big play and no touchdown. Either way, Rivers against the Browns, you would expect them to throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns. Hopefully somebody's involved. Either one of them. Do you have a preference in either one?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Inman is definitely the safer play, and probably based on what he's done over the past month or so, pretty good bet for, around 5 receptions, at least 50 yards, and a good shot at a touchdown. I mean, I think having them all three involved, I still don't think Benjamin's 100%, and obviously Tyrell isn't playing through the shoulder. I think they're all basically wide receiver threes, back end wide receiver two, high end wide receiver threes. They're all in that range, which is crazy. The fact that all three of them, any one of the three, like you're saying, could pop off and do really good things for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So then the other one is, you look at the matchup last week for the Patriots. Nobody did really much against the Broncos in the passing game. Malcolm Mitchell had four nice games before that. Here's the thing. There's an appeal here for Malcolm Mitchell, especially against the Jets, whose secondary and pass defense has been abysmal. But on the other side of my mind, it's, well, if Michael Floyd is active, ooh, now what are we looking at here? Because Edelman, of anybody, no matter who's playing at wide receiver, Edelman's got the best match of anybody playing out of the slot with his matchup on the corner that the Jets have. That I can't think of his name right now, but he's got the best matchup of all of them, including Darrell Revis. So I expect a big day for Edelman. So now it's down to Mitchell and Michael Floyd if active. I wouldn't feel too confident throwing Mitchell out there if Floyd plays this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that will throw definitely a wrinkle into the Malcolm Mitchell upside. I mean, he could be active and not be used hardly at all, but we just don't know. And that's kind of what provides the little bit of risk factor with Mitchell. If he's inactive, I love Mitchell as an upside play, wide receiver three type.
Yeah, I'm with you absolutely for that one. At tight end, if you're out there looking for tight end options, I hope you're not at this point. Tight end's been a mess this year. Lots of injuries everywhere you look. If you potentially have Ladarius Green and he's back in the concussion protocol or something like that, CJ Fedorowicz, if he comes back, is a great play. Houston just continually goes to their tight end, and as was a very sneaky play, and this is going to be a self backpack because it helped me win the league, or well, not a league, but my matchup last week, is I started Ryan Griffin, picked him up. Between the two, if Fedorowicz is out there, that's who you want. If he's out, I have full confidence in starting Ryan Griffin as that pickup option just to go ahead and plug in, because the Bengals are allowing the third most fantasy points per game to tight end. So it's a great matchup again. To be honest with you, I would almost prefer Fedorowicz to not play and be able to play Griffin, because when Fedorowicz is out there, Griffin still steals some.
Yeah, exactly. It would be a lot cleaner for you if Fedorowicz just sits out. That way, Griffin, he's going to be the guy. We obviously have the QB change there with Tom Savage under center, which I think lifts up the whole offense a little bit. He'll take some shots downfield. He'll definitely use all of his receivers, as we saw in the second half last week. So I think it's a good sign for the offense. And really, I do think Griffin is in a PPR format. I think he can get close to top 10 value this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the Saints a little bit. Back at home, big game last week in Arizona. Hopefully everybody out there stuck with Breeze and Brandon Cooks. So back at home this week, the first time against Tampa Bay, I mentioned it. It was a quiet game. Nobody really expected to be that low scoring on either side of the ball. Drew Breeze at home, we know the numbers. Brandon Cooks at home, we know the numbers. Michael Thomas didn't play in this first matchup. He's going to see a lot of Hargraves, which I think is the best matchup of anybody. Like, I almost feel better about Michael Thomas than I do Brandon Cooks in this game. But either way, everything's copacetic, right? We're all good again. Drew Brees, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, even in deeper leagues, Willie Snead. Everybody just needs to be back in your lineup with no concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, unlike a few weeks ago, I do expect this to be a high-scoring game. In New Orleans, we saw, obviously, Drew Brees got very much back on track, and we talked about it in last week's podcast. You just don't do it. I can't bring myself to bench Drew Brees, especially when the fantasy playoffs are on the line, and I'm expecting a huge game from him again this week.
Yeah, I think so as well. At the running back situation, we saw Ingram get a lot of good yardage last week. Tim Hightower stole two touchdowns. If you have to go with either one, you're still sticking with Ingram, right?
I am, yeah. Obviously, Hightower got the two touchdowns, but Ingram did a lot of the heavier lifting, and he has more upside to me in this matchup.
Yeah, I think so as well. So on the other side of the ball, with the, again, a quiet game, but Jameis Winston, is he a QB1 or is he still a high-end QB2? Like, where would you rank him this week?
I'm going to say he's between 10 and 14. I would say he's probably 11 or 12. So he's a QB1 for me.
All right, then let's play a little bit of the game this week then. So either Jameis Winston or. So how about Jameis Winston or Cam Newton?
Ooh, I actually like Cam this week. I'm going to say Cam as the better matchup.
Home against the Falcons. Yeah,
yep.
Jameis Winston or Derek Carr?
Derek Carr, this is close because I do feel like Carr rebounds. I think he's had a tough couple of a tough couple of weeks. I'm going to take Carr here.
Okay, Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson?
Russie against Arizona. I just don't know if he's going to do to them what Drew Brees just did. That one, if I want the upside, I'll take Winston there.
Okay, Winston or Mariota at Jacksonville?
Winston, I think at Jacksonville is a tough matchup.
Do you think that's a trap game for everybody that's going to look at the first matchup where the Titans put up a ton of points?
I do because Jacksonville has definitely played a little bit better since then. And I think that secondary is legit. So I think Mariota is still on the cusp of QB1 territory and, could get certainly could find his way into two or three scores, which is going to make for a good day. But it's a tough defense. It's tougher than people would normally think of Jacksonville.
All right, so Jameis Winston or Dak Prescott?
Dak versus Detroit, which I think everyone is just assuming will be a very slow-paced game. I'll take Winston here.
How about Jameis Winston or Eli Manning?
Eli lit up Philly last time out, but Eli also hasn't been over like
It's
he
a
hasn't
Thursday
cracked like
night on the road.
200 something yard. No, I'm gonna avoid Eli here if I can. I'll take Winston.
Okay, sounds like you almost have Winston in the exact same spot I did, which was 11th this week. Let me circle back to one real quick. I want to put up another two quarterbacks against each other. It's not Jameis Winston, though, because I don't know how, but some people have had this question proposed or proposed to me. Not proposed. So, you know what? I'm going to throw a third name into this list, as a matter of fact, because it's a tough time ranking these three for this week. Kirk Cousins at Chicago. The weather doesn't look like it's going to be an issue. It looks like it's going to be 30 and not a lot like snow flurries and stuff like that. So that one doesn't, you don't have to worry about that. Philip Rivers at Cleveland, same thing. Or Cam Newton home against Atlanta. How would you rank those three?
I would say Newton Rivers Cousins. I do think Chicago is actually a decently tough matchup. I know what Cousins has been able to do this year. He's been a really good fantasy quarterback. He hasn't been as good on the road, but we're not talking about severe splits as someone like Big Ben. But like I said, I like Newton's matchup a lot. I think the safest one of those is Philip Rivers because I just don't see how he doesn't have at least 202. And I think Cousins is the riskiest.
I'm with you. Definitely the rest of you. Were you surprised? Let's look at that for a second there. So, if you survived with Kirk Cousins and even Jameson Crowder's had two rough weeks in a row here, do you just stay the course? Is this one of those ones where you survived, similar to Drew Brees? And I know he's not on Drew Brees' level, but you survived two rough games, one rough game here for Kirk Cousins, two rough games for Jameson Crowder. You made it this far. It's a decent matchup on paper. As you said, it's going to be a little tougher than people give him credit for, but you just keep him out there. You don't get too cute, or is there a legitimate concern here?
I mean, I'm not going to get too cute because Cousins, as we've seen with the yardage, which is very similar to Drew Brees. I mean, it doesn't matter if he has a really bad game; he's still piling up massive amounts of yardage. And then, the touchdowns just obviously weren't there on Monday night for Cousins. But I mean, if he still can get 300 yards and then manages to throw one or two touchdowns, if Deshaun can break one, I mean, he has the playmaker, so he's still in QB1 territory for me. So I'm not going to be hugely panicking. I just think the other guys that we were talking about have a little bit more upside, not as much of a risk as Cousins is, because I certainly do think there is some risk here.
I'm looking at the running back situation for this week. Staying in the game real quickly with the Saints, Doug Martin, how confident are you in rolling him out this week? Is he locked in as an RB2, or is he a risky RB2?
I think for me, he's locked in, to be honest with you. I think we've seen him getting the touches consistently since he's been back. He hasn't averaged, I think 3.8 maybe is the highest he's averaged in a game, yards per carry. He scored a few weeks ago against New Orleans. He scored in two straight against them. I think he'll, as long as they're in it, I think he's going to be, a big part of that. I could actually see this being like a Doug Martin has a really good game and propels some people with a couple touchdowns, over 100 total yards type of performance if he's healthy. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly I could see if you were gonna say I don't trust him, I'm still gonna play him, but I don't trust him. I can definitely see it because the yards per carry has been brutal, but I also think that line's been brutal and the offense hasn't been as good these past few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about another situation. Speaking of trust, which is a really good one here. So Matt Moore comes out last week, throws for four touchdowns, takes everybody by surprise. This week heads to Buffalo. Usually not a good situation for the Dolphins in December in Buffalo. Doesn't in history wise hasn't worked out too well. But obviously we're not recommending going to Matt Moore for your fantasy championship. Hopefully you have a better option at quarterback. But if you're looking at the wide receiver situation, do you feel good about Landry, even though a lot of that catch was after his on his own? Or like if you had to start somebody from the Dolphins wide receiver crew this week, who would you even go with?
Yeah, I mean, Landry's the only one that I feel like I can trust. I like Parker. Stills for me is just a guy I'll hardly ever play because he's way too hit or miss. Yeah, Landry is the guy, especially if I'm in a PPR format. I mean, they were obviously it was a low volume attack last week. They didn't really throw the ball that much, like you said. I mean, a lot of it came on a 60-something yard touchdown run that Landry kind of created. So, yeah, it'd be Landry here. And I think he's a wide receiver too this week.
I think so. PPR, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, just to be clear. Standard fringe wide receiver three?
Yeah, I still think he's a three. I would put him wide receiver three territory in not in standard league.
Okay. Running back situation. Ryan Matthews had a big game last week, but Darren Sproles is supposed to be back. And Darren Sproles in prime time seems to be a thing against the Giants. We talked about before. Giants defense has been playing really well. At this point, would you actually start Darren Sproles over Ryan Matthews even after last week?
I could see it because I don't want any part of, if I can avoid it, Ryan Matthews against that Giants defense, which is playing really well right now. So yeah, I could definitely see Sproles being the guy that certainly gets some involvement in the passing game. Now that he's going to be, I mean, he's listed as questionable, but he's clear concussion protocol, so you expect him to play. I mean, honestly, the answer that I want to give is that I really don't want or feel comfortable starting either of these guys unless they're flex plays.
Yeah, what about the situation in Chicago? We talked about the Bears on the other side of the ball, but on their offense, Alshon Jeffrey and Cam Meredith. Alshon Jeffrey, good game, but if you were watching, most of it didn't happen until the fourth quarter. Cam Meredith saw a lot of the opportunities with Matt Barkley. So, Alshon Jeffrey, you have to start him, right? But is he really that far ahead of Cam Meredith? Is Cam Meredith not somebody that could possibly make your lineup in a championship game?
I mean, I am a little nervous about it. We saw Bellamy and Meredith both go over 100. And, you know, Jeffrey had 89 yards and a touchdown. But like you're saying, I mean, I was sitting there, it was, had to be after halftime, and I had a zero from him. And I have him in two lineups, so I was getting a little nervous. And he obviously came through. I feel like he's the only guy I could start. If that wide receiver core, I get what you're saying about Meredith. I think he's right there for me, but I just feel like if I'm gonna go out, it's gonna be going out with Alshon giving me a dud rather than a guy like Cam Meredith, or I get cute and put him in my lineup.
And isn't that the same situation, speaking of which, like if Julio Jones plays this week, you have to start him?
Exactly. I'm definitely rolling with Julio if he's back. It sounds like he is trending positively towards playing, which would be great. And really, you know, with Julio, all you need is a couple Julio-esque type plays, and it makes that worthwhile that you started them.
Well, let's talk about one more person then when it comes to whether or not you start him with that situation is people were asking about Adrian Peterson last week and now this week against Green Bay. And if you look at the situation last week in the production, didn't do a lot for your fantasy team. I suggested not starting him last week. I'm still saying the same this week. I still wouldn't start Adrian Peterson unless I'm just dying. If I'm looking for the potential, it could be an Adrian Peterson breakout and, oh, look, he looks like the old Adrian Peterson. But if it's not, it's just so much risk to me that I think that you likely have gotten to this point without needing him.
Yes, yeah, so much risk involved with starting Peterson. Did not like it last week at all. Just because we just didn't know, and the offense really did not look good, obviously, overall, everyone. So yeah, I don't love it, in Lambeau. I think he's too risky.
Yeah, I think
I'm
so.
With you.
Well, let me circle to this Julio Jones thing real quick, because this brings up two topics of players that have been helping people and been a benefit to find out there so far. So, Taylor Gabriel, if Julio Jones plays and Mohamed Sanu's back on the field and Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, there we all know. Does Taylor Gabriel become a risky play this week, or he's now down in the wide receiver 3 and 4 territory because the snap count? And that was the problem when we first started to get rolling with him, was the snap count.
Yeah, and I think we saw Taylor Gabriel make some plays when everyone was healthy, and he was a nice kind of ancillary piece for Matt Ryan, which is great. But I do think he becomes risky. But I still think he's a worthwhile play. He's probably in the wide receiver 3 range, but of that, he's for the back end for me, just because Sanu is going to get some targets, and even if Julio's out there, not at 100%. If he's out there and they're having him run routes, he's going to get targeted on those routes. I still think there's room for Gabriel, but certainly more risky.
And the other one is Tyreek Hill, whose week last week was saved by one run for 68 yards and a touchdown. Zero catches with Jeremy Maclin now back to, looks like, full speed. Travis Kelce absorbing so much, and this being not a pass-heavy offense, as we all know, for Kansas City. And guess who they get this week? Denver. Is Tyreek Hill's benchable, is he not?
I think he is, but I will say I think I feel a little bit better about him than Maclin, just because they find so many ways to try and get Hill the ball, and he's not just a straight-up typical standard receiving option like Maclin is. And we know – I'm obviously not expecting him to have 3 touchdowns against Denver again like he did a few weeks ago. But I still think he's wide receiver 3 territory.
Do you? So would you start Taylor Gabriel or Tyreek Hill?
As it stands right now, I'd rather start Tyreek Hill.
Interesting.
Yes.
I think they're both so risky.
Very risky.
Yeah, it's just you could easily get – look at it. If he doesn't get that one run, you get a 0 from Tyreek Hill. So,
right.
And Taylor Gabriel, as we've seen before. So I think they're both in that interesting conversation. And it really comes down to, as we've been talking about for the entire year, and as we'll tell you a lot of times too when it comes to fantasy, it really depends on what you need. If you're going with Tyreek Hill or Taylor Gabriel, maybe even starting both of them in your championship game, you just know that you're going for the high ceiling, you're going for the championship, you're going to win it all. I just wouldn't do it for the sake of benching somebody like an AJ Green. I would do it if, you know, my options are Taylor Gabriel, Tyreek Hill, and Malcolm Mitchell, and Kenny Britt, and Willie Snead, and stuff like that. So, like, these guys that you are consistently using as consistent options, then you're just saying, you know what, at this point, they're all in the same group of the conversation. I'm just going to go for the pure high ceiling.
Yeah, I can see that. I definitely could see it. You don't want to get risky with starting Hill over someone like a Julio coming back or an AJ Green, like you're saying. But certainly I think he belongs in that conversation with the Brits, the Sneeds. Now, if you want to play it safe, you're going to go with the Brits and the Sneeds, because they certainly, I think, have a higher floor. But you can definitely argue that Tyreek Hill, of any non-elite wide receiver, might have one of the highest ceilings in any game.
And then this week at the quarterback position, to go back to that real quick, if you have one of the studs, unlike last week where a lot of them had the bad matchups, if you have a stud, you don't get cute, right? Like, so, because the one that I'm getting some questions about is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers at home in the cold against Minnesota, and his leg's been hurting and all, you know, all that. You've known it. Some people are like, well, should I think – I'm in the championship game. I don't want to risk a bad game for Aaron Rodgers. Should I start Marcus Mariota? Should I start Jameis Winston? And I think he's still a top-5 quarterback, right?
Exactly. I'm obviously the matchup. I do think highly of the Vikings defense, but it will not deter me from playing Aaron Rodgers in a championship game. No way.
Rodgers! let's see. Real quick, you did some DFS this week, right?
Yes.
Let's throw out a little help for some people out there. Purely you do DraftKings, right?
I do, yeah.
All right, I'm pulling up DraftKings for everybody to talk about some of the plays that we might like for you, because, as I mentioned last week, some of you might be tuning in just only to listen to that because you're out of it in your home leagues, which hopefully not. But so coming up here for this week, a quarterback position, Who are you looking at? Who are your, like, just give me like two, like maybe, how about this? A tournament play and your favorite cash game play.
Sure. So the way I'm looking at it is that they're actually kind of pricey this week.
They are.
One guy we already talked about, Cam Newton, is probably my tournament play. I feel pretty good about him at $6,600 on DraftKings. So, but if I want to get a little safer, I'm probably going to have to pay up because I just don't think you can go any further down to like a Russell Wilson or a Stafford. I think you have to look upwards of, say, Philip Rivers, who we think is really safe at 6,900, and then Matt Ryan at 7,200, I think are, you know, solid. But then it's like, why don't you just pay up for Drew Brees at 74? So it's a slippery slope.
Right.
So basically,
don't get caught in that.
Yes, exactly. And then all of a sudden you're up at 7,400 with Drew Brees. So I'll say Cam Newton is my favorite play out of I'll actually move him to my he's too risky for cash. I can't move him. So he's definitely my tournament play, and then I will pin it on Philip Rivers at 6,900.
Yeah, I like this place. I don't mind Cam Newton in cash either. I think that if look last week he's.
I think you can
Atlanta.
Get away with it.
Yeah.
Because last week was pretty good, and this matchup should be great for him.
So looking at the running back position, how tempting is Todd Gurley at 6,500 going against the 49ers?
Yeah, they give him a nice price bump, but
yeah, he went up.
I still think he's worthwhile. I mean, he hasn't had more than 85 rushing yards in a game yet. I mean, this has to be the game, right? If you drafted him second or third overall, I'm sorry, you're probably not listening because you're probably championship. But if you are, start Todd Gurley. I mean, this is the week for him. So in DFS, 6,500 is tough to swallow, but I think it's a good it's a pretty decent play.
Yeah, I think so as well. One of the ones that I really like for cash and even some tournaments just because how angrily he's been running. How great he's been running. And this is a game where I don't expect either team to pull out to a huge lead, so he should be out there for most of the games. Carlos Hyde against the Rams.
Yeah, Carlos Hyde's been really good, and I've always been a fan of his ceiling. When he's healthy, he's got a monster ceiling. I agree with you. I think the matchup is prime for him to, it's going to be a competitive game and possibly, you know, even the 49ers, might have a lead in this one. So, that we could see a lot of Carlos Hyde. I would expect at least 15 touches overall.
Are you staying away, even in cash, are you staying away for David Johnson? Because here's the thing that's in the back of my mind with David Johnson is it's their season's done. It's in Seattle. My bold prediction for the week was this is the first week he doesn't get 100 total yards because maybe they start sprinkling a lot more of Kerwin Williams because why risk your franchise running back?
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair point. I think his price tag obviously is probably going to deter some people. The matchup, I mean, would he have 160-something yards, 170-something yards against Seattle last time they played, but he didn't score a touchdown, which for him, you got to consider that a down week, especially this year. So, yeah, I could see it. I mean, he's the second highest priced running back. That's the problem. A lot of these running backs are really priced up. I would take
Sean McCoy's so heavy.
So heavy. Of those elite guys, I mean, Zeke at 79. I know it's a tough matchup against Detroit, but you have to figure he's going to get a ton of work. And I think that's a great value compared to the three guys ahead of him.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that one. Elsewhere at running back, appeal in Jay Ajayi, or are you worried that this team is going way too pass heavy?
Yeah, I think there's some appeal. We know what he did last time against Buffalo. He obviously ripped
them. What did he do against Buffalo last time?
Yeah, just over 200 yards. I mean, nothing crazy. So I do think at 5,600 there is some appeal there for him, especially when you look into that range. I mean, you've got risky guys like Doug Martin. We don't know what's going on with LeGarrette Blount. And the Jets are usually strong against the run, even though he had a pretty good game against them a few weeks ago. You know, it's a lot of guys who are risky. Lamar Miller, I always like Lamar Miller in like a tournament type setting because I feel like he's capable of scoring two touchdowns and having, you know, a huge yardage performance. But I think Ajayi is right there with those guys. But I'll take your boy Hyde over all those guys for only a couple hundred more.
I definitely agree with you. At wide receiver, my favorite, I don't care if it's cash, I don't care if it's tournament, this should surprise nobody, Michael Thomas, $6,000, going against Hargraves, going against this matchup. I he's one of my top plays. Even if he was $7,000, he'd be one of my top plays.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I will throw out a guy who is this year at least much maligned. I cannot make a lineup without a $4,600 Allen Robinson going against the Titans. I just can't do it.
You're gonna dive back in?
Oh yeah, I'm back. I'm fully back in. I'm saying start him in seasonal too as a wide receiver three. I think he has a pretty good game this weekend. I feel good about it.
Really?
I do, yeah. Maybe it's ownership is blinding me at some point, but I feel like this is an Allen Robinson week. At 4,600 though on DraftKings, I mean, come on.
It's very hard to ignore, but at this point, I mean, look at it. So I'm going to pull $4,600. That's so far down the list. He's down there with Adam Thielen, who I like, by the way, as a sneaky play.
If he's healthy.
If he's healthy. Yeah, obviously if he's healthy. So the last four games, 4.4, 6.1, 2.7, 3.5.
Right, but I'm throwing all those out the window. They're all tough matchups. Well, maybe. I mean, maybe Buffalo wasn't tough, but Denver, Minnesota, Houston.
They changed their entire staff. I mean, Bradley's out.
That's true. I know. Who knows? Who knows what can happen?
Definitely a tournament play. Don't do it in cash.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a tournament play, but 4,600, in cash, it's obviously risky, but. I mean, I love Allen Robinson.
Well, for his teammate that's been better than him, Marquise Lee.
He really has, Marquise Lee.
So I mentioned to Thomas, one of my favorite other wide receivers in paying a little bit more up for him is Julian Edelman at 6,900. I love that matchup. At this point, for 4,500, do we pretty much have to stop ignoring Ted Ginn? Is he just going to do this every single year at the end of the year?
I mean, it's boom or bust as Ted Ginn is, and you look at the box scores, it's certainly been more boom than bust the past month and a half. So, yeah, I mean, I like Newton, and the guy I'm going to stack with is certainly not Benjamin. It's going to be Ted Ginn.
Yeah, I absolutely think so as well. So some other options out there, I think, you know, you might get contrarian to go with A.J. Green because people are going to be worried about the injury. They're going to be worried about going for the matchup against the Texans pass defense. But it looks like do we have Jonathan Joseph back yet? Because it might be – he might be out again. And if so –
yeah, I don't know. That would be good for A.J.
That would be definitely – but I think for the fact that he wants to get out there, he almost got out there last week. He's going for the record for that 1,000-yard seasons and all that type of stuff. I'm trying to pull up right now for Jonathan Joseph to get a real quick – word on that. While I'm doing that, speaking of, Tom Savage at quarterback targeted DeAndre Hopkins 42% of the time. Can you get in on DeAndre Hopkins this week?
I can, actually. I can in seasonal, again, much like my boy Allen Rob. I think DeAndre in DFS and seasonal, wide receiver three. And on DFS, he's only 5,200. I do think it's a tough matchup, but I think the volume could be there, and that's how DeAndre lived last year, volume. So give him that volume, Tom.
Let me go to tight end because I don't even think there's an option here. I mean, it's just for the price, there's one choice. Do you know who I'm going to say?
I'm going to for the price, which means it's probably affordable.
For what he's done, it's a ridiculous price. Let's put it that way.
Really? I don't know. I'm going to take a guess. So I'll say Cameron Brate.
It is Cameron Brate.
Okay.
$3,900.
Yes.
For Cameron Brate.
And he's been so good this year.
He's been terrific. He's got, you know, you look at him, his worst game since week 8, his worst game was 3.8. Outside of that was 8.7 and 8.9, so a good floor. But then he's got 11, 15, 21, 21, 18 in there. It's just, he's been a top 5 tight end. And for $3,900, I just like, done, tight end. I might have 100% ownership.
Yeah, it's easy. I'll throw out – I mean, I do – he's been the opposite of Cameron Brate lately. He has not been that good. But Eric Ebron at 3,600,
right.
I do think it's an upside type play. Definitely not he's definitely a tournament play. But I have some interest in Ebron this week as well.
Do you have any interest – this is one that I'm having trouble with is because we know what he can do. We know his ability. And if you look on the season, he's still a top 3 tight end, which just tells you how bad the tight end position is with how quiet he's been of late. Delanie Walker used to be amazing last year.
What happened Delanie, to
yeah, he's kind of fallen off. Seasonal and DFS, can you get in on Delanie Walker this week at all?
Yeah, I think I can because he's still getting some targets. It's been a little bit of a tough road for that passing game over the past month, and we talked about that going into their tough matchups about having someone as a backup for Mariota, and that hopefully you listened and did that because Mariota just hasn't been that good. But I could see you not having a better option, and you don't want to get. I'd rather take the risk on Delanie Walker, giving me a 3 for 20, than plugging in. I mean, I don't know, a Jason Witten who's got a pretty good matchup, and I just feel like is so blah.
Well, here's one for you then: Cameron Brate or Delanie Walker.
Oh, I'll take Brate all day. I think, yeah, like you're saying, Brate to me is the best bet for a touchdown at the tight end position.
So last week, my sleeper was Charles Clay, which obviously
worked out
very well. And part of the biggest reason is guess who was facing was the Browns. Can you play both? And I just mean, but like you're not going to put them in the same lineup on seasonal or DraftKings. It's just the fact that it doesn't matter which one. Can you just go ahead and say if you have Henry, you play Henry. If you have Gates, you play Gates. You can basically pick either one of them this week.
I think you can. I mean, Henry scored a touchdown last week. We know that Gates is still kind of, you know,
like here, how about this?
Chugging along.
What do you think the odds are both finish as a tight end one this week?
17%.
That's kind of low.
I think that's pretty high. I mean, considering, yeah, I mean, I guess looking at the rest of the tight ends, maybe
exactly.
It should be higher. Yeah, maybe more like 33%.
Okay. I was going to say, what are my odds of winning my championship there? Don't you love those questions?
I do. Give me a percentage. How confident
you
are
know
you?
What's going to happen, too, is because we've got so many games on Saturday this week with the, was it two on Sunday and one on Monday night?
Yeah, two Sunday, Monday night. Yep.
But you know, Christmas, all we're going to get is I'm down by blah, blah, blah. What are the odds I win the title? What does it matter if I told you your odds are 80% or 20%? It's not going to make a difference.
You're locked in. You're going to win it all.
Yeah. Spend the rest of your time doing what everybody else does. Either thank me so much for the help that I gave you or troll me and tell me how it's all my fault. I'm used to those at least. Like, just don't ask me to say odds. Anything else you want to wish? Hey, your favorite Christmas song, Bobby?
Wham's Last Christmas. That is Stone Cold Lock number one for me.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
That actually made my honorable mention list on the site. I said nice. I said it's the best 80s Christmas song ever, no question. I said it might even be the best 80s songs, period. That was
it's up there for me. I mean, it's just such a good song.
Christmas and Hollis and Bing Crosby's Ooh. White Christmas were in my honorable mentions as well.
Christmas and Hollis.
If you want my reverse top 10, so Baby Please Come Home, the Christmas, whether it's Darlene Love or Mariah Carey. Holly Jelly Christmas, I don't think gets enough credit. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas with Sinatra, of course. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Winter Wonderland, Sleigh Ride, the combination one by Dolly Parton, because here's my problem with Christmas songs. They're all like a minute 50 seconds long. Like,
that's true. A lot of them are very short.
Like the worst one, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's just like a minute and you're done. It's like it's just over. So that's why I really like that one, because you basically took 2-minute songs and put them together to create like a 4-minute one, which is really nice. So it's the most wonderful time of the year. Santa Claus is coming to town. Jingle Bell Rock. All I Want for Christmas is You is number two. And if anybody says differently, you're lying to yourself. And then the Christmas song, Nat King Cole, is number one for me.
I got a sleeper for you. Dan Fogelberg, Same Old Lang Syne. What do you think?
Is that the original? Like, is that the one when you come on? That's who sings it, or is he somebody just?
Yeah, no, he's the original of that. It's not to me. It's not even really a Christmas song. I just feel like it's a good
holidays time song.
Yeah, see, winter type song.
See, that's what I would agree with you. Is I don't think it falls into Christmas. But the other problem I have with this is like I don't know how to say most of the words.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Like I don't know what he's saying. I've always, you know what? I'm going to do that and nobody knows half the words.